Does everybody have their head on straight today?
No.
Well, get it straight. We know where we're headed, right? Well, this is called, my title today is called Anticipation. We all live with the desire for a better life, of no more pain, no more suffering, even the thought of death for ourselves or our loved ones. This will indeed happen, not now, but in the future. We'll discuss that later. But for the time being, we're living in the present, the here and now. But in the future, we'll discuss that later. But for the time being, with life's current ups and downs and uncertainties and inevitably physical decay and death, let me state something here. We need not be overly concerned, as the majority of the world is. To them, death is the final thing. It's their enemy. It's all of our enemy. But here in this room, if we believe, we don't need to be overly concerned about that. But some people see the advance in modern technology as the Holy Grail for eternal life or the extension of life. One such scenario is as follows. World's first head transplant patient scheduled for the procedure in 2017. Now, is anybody ready for that? That's why I ask you, do you have your heads on straight? Keep them there. Valery Spirendinov, who has put himself forward to have the world's first head transplant, is going to meet the surgeon. This is Central European News. A man set to become the world's first head transplant patient has scheduled the procedure for December 2017. That's only 2 years away. There's a lot going to have to happen between now and that 2 years. He was Valery Spirendinov, 30, was diagnosed with a genetic muscle-wasting condition called Wittig-Hoffmann disease, and volunteered for the procedure despite the risks involved. When I realized that I could participate in something really big and important, I had no doubt left in my mind and started to work in that direction. Spirendinov, a Russian computer scientist, told CEN, he said, "The only thing I feel is a sense of pleasant impatience. Like I have been preparing for something important all my life, and it is starting to happen." Dr. Sergio Canaveras, an Italian neurosurgeon, will perform the procedure. The procedure is expected to last up to 36 hours, and it will require Spirendinov's head to be cooled, as well as the donor's body, to extend the period of time which the cells can survive without oxygen. According to Cavanero's calculation, if everything goes as planned, 2 years is the time frame needed to verify all scientific calculations and plan the procedure's details. It isn't a race. No doubt the surgery will be done once the doctor and the experts are, get this, 99% sure of its success. Would you like to be on that other 1%? I don't think so. Spirendinov joked that first thing he plans to do after the procedure is go on vacation. I would too. But on the serious note, this operation is aimed at restoring independence of severely disabled people. Once I get it back, I guess that's the head and the body, I'll see what the life of a healthier person looks like. Sounds interesting, sounds like science fiction, but you know, we've seen so many things over the years. I remember back probably in the 60s when the first reattachment of an arm happened. Young man about, I think he was around 18 years old, tried to catch a train and it ripped his arm off. They reattached it. But he never had the use of it again. But he still had the arm, you know. It's been many years ago. Things have really advanced since that time. So, my purpose here today is to discuss where we have been and where we are yet to be in the scheme of things in the end time plan of God. Brethren, we here today are living between the Feast of Trumpets, the return of Jesus Christ, and the Day of Atonement, when the destroyer of humanity will be bound for 1,000 years. These two holy days represent what I feel, personally, are two of the most pivotal times in the existence of mankind. But we don't have to wait until the surgeon is 99% sure. We have God's promises and his true word that are 100% sure, without the 1% possibility for error on his part. The only error can be on our part by not believing or accepting his promises. We just observed the Feast of Trumpets, which pictures the return of Jesus Christ at the last trumpet blast. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us those who are dead in Christ and those who are faithful to the end or endure to the end will not have to make an appointment with the surgeon to restore our corrupted bodies to a form of perfection. Verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory." Isaiah 25:8. Let's continue now in verse 55. "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Hosea 13:14. We're also encouraged by these words in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Let's begin in 13. If you want to turn there, we can... 1 Thessalonians. Begin in verse 13 on 1 Thessalonians 4. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow like others who have no hope. Sorry about that. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain faithful until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." We'll actually see those who died before us be raised from the graves. That is good testimony and proof to us that this really happens, you know. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven and with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. I want to go back for that last, "and thus we shall always be with the Lord." We're not always going to be in the air with the Lord on a cloud somewhere looking down here, you know, people playing their violins or whatever. We're going to be with the Lord from then on, not just in the air. So therefore, comfort one another with these words, verse 18. What happens next is absolutely amazing, and the wonderful truth of the matter of the Day of Atonement, when we will see the being, Satan the devil, that has caused the deception that has brought sin and brings on us the penalty of death, will be deactivated for 1,000 years. He'll be deactivated temporarily. After 1,000 years, he will have to be let go again. Revelation 9 tells us, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, not some new apparition that's just come on the scene, but that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, who was cast to the earth, and his angels, or helpers, or cohorts, were cast out with him. We have God's own word in Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 1, tells us, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave to him, Jesus Christ, to show his servant things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to the servant John. So let's fast forward now to Revelation 20 for the rest of the story. Of course, we will hear more about this on the Day of Atonement, coming up probably on Wednesday. I mean, it will be on Wednesday, and we'll be probably on. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. At the end of verse 5, it says, this is the first resurrection. Continuing verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is an awesome promise of God. Let us keep our heads on straight. We don't have to look for some surgeon to operate on us with a 1% possibility that we're not going to make it. So let's keep our heads on straight where they are and pray your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. We do indeed live in awesome and exciting times. Happy Sabbath.